What God promises remains. He himself takes care that his word finds fulfillment at the appointed time, and also that all who are born again through the life-giving word have a part in it at the appointed time. All of you who have come to hear God's word should know that we appreciate it and that we are grateful to God that you take upon yourselves a great deal in every way, financially and also in terms of time, in order to be here and to hear the word of the Lord. May God reward you. And our only wish is that together we may be among those who are God's own possession. And on the day when he will do it, that we are part of it. This word accomplishes is written twice in Malachi 3 and also read aloud, but in two different contexts. I would like to emphasize both of them very briefly. Once in verse 17, here it says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I will perform it, they shall be my own special property." This performing refers to what God will do among those who fear God, who were conferring with one another. Here is a thing that we need to notice, who were not talking about one another, but who had come together to talk about the matter of God with one another. And when we come together, we come together to delve into that with one another, to talk about what God has spoken. And the Lord says, "In that day there shall be unto me a jewel, a special property, when I perform it, and I will spare them." The word "spare" actually means that basically they should not have gone out freely either, but God lets them go out freely because of his grace. And we know how often we want to beat up our children and we let them go out free. God will spare those who have reverence before his name, who have come together to delve into that what God has spoken. But then the word "perform" is in another context. I would have to read here verse 21. "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this." So, twice it speaks of doing, of performing. Once, where God brings his work to completion among his own, among those who have high regard for his name and for his word. They shall be a special property, a jewel, in the day when he performs it. and he will spare them. The word on the day I perform it. So it is a certain day, a certain time in which God realizes and does what he has promised. And then after that comes the great tribulation and the day of the Lord that will burn like an oven. And then God will execute judgment on those who have spoken defiantly against him, on those who have not submitted under his mighty hand. As my beloved brother Rus mentioned, there are two groups of people. One discusses among themselves and sees all the disadvantages and say, what advantage has it given us to serve God? And without wanting to get personal, but how many people may think about it at this time and say, yes, what advantage has it given us to have heard God's word all these years? Brothers and sisters, I would like to say this quite freely once for all. People who think like this, God has not spoken to them at all. They have not understood God's words at all. They have thought their own thoughts. And that is why they have come to talk or think about it in this way. If God has really spoken to us, then his word abides in us, and there may come and go what will. We serve our Lord, have high regard for his name, and look to the goal, to the end, and keep our eyes on it, and remain faithful until the Lord will come again to take his own home. For me, last night was an evening of blessing and the presence of God. And yet, one has to ask the question, I to you, you to me, why God does not break through as one would expect and as it should happen? There is the possibility that we are an obstacle to ourselves and we begin to think whether there could be a curse, whether there could be a spell, whether there could be this or that. And if we are so preoccupied with ourselves, we do not open ourselves to God, but to some thoughts that deprive us of God's blessing precisely in such decisive moments. And today, I would like to intentionally give everyone the word from the Old Testament, which contains the 12 curses. And then you can reflect on them. I'm not going to read them, but they are written in Deuteronomy 27 from verse 15. There the 12 curses are written that can come upon a person if he is guilty of the things that are written here. But believers need to be told about this, that every curse has been dissolved, even if he is guilty of it, according to what God's word tells us in Galatians 3. And this is what I want to read. First, it says in verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them." But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now comes the actual word I wanted to read. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So, there are two things written in the Old Testament. On the one hand, cursed is he who does such and such. And then we read these 12 curses. And then it is written, Cursed is he who hangs on the tree. You may have been guilty of a curse, but you were not hanged on the tree. The innocent, the pure, the holy one hang on the cross and took your curse and mine upon himself, so that you and I might be set free and go out free. So, as children of God, we do not look for a curse, but we look to him who took the curse upon himself and was nailed to the cross, so that through him we might become partakers of the righteousness of God. But there is something else that we need to take to heart. And that is written in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is my very personal impression. I'm not saying that God has revealed it to me, but what is written in the Word of God has already been revealed by God. It is already a thing that God has to say to us here in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Here seems to me to be the point by which the Spirit of God is grieved. And when the Spirit of God is grieved, then you feel it, and then I feel it, and then we are all grieved, because God cannot reveal himself. So, if we are looking for something, then surely there where it can be found. And do you notice the difference? As far as the curse and sin are concerned, Christ has accomplished an eternal redemption once and for all. The curse has been dissolved, for he has become a curse for us. Sin has been atoned for, because he shed the blood on the cross of Calvary. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we have been justified and have received peace with God. But now it is about that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And that is what we need to pay attention to. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. This is the mirror of the word into which we all must and may look. And then follow the invitation as read to us in the prophet Malachi. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. This inner conversion, the nature of Jesus in your life and in mine, in your heart and in mine. Here it says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. And also this word, you can read on and see what it is about. I want to come back to the prophet Isaiah, namely to chapter 44 from verse 21. Isaiah 44 from verse 21. And may God really give us grace today to take his word to heart. After all, we are not here to just hear. We are here to experience God. And last night, a mighty breakthrough could have happened and should have happened, for the presence of God was mighty in our midst. But it is in such hours that the enemy will bring everything before us and weigh us down so heavily and press us down, that instead of opening ourselves to receive the blessing of God, we are pressed down and lose the blessing of God. Let us hear God's word in faith. And when we have heard God's word in faith, then the turning point can come in that moment. Here in Isaiah 44 from verse 21, it says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. That is a wonderful word. You know very well, the clouds come and then they are gone. The fog rises, and sometimes it's so thick that drivers especially can't see. One speaks of it. The sight, the vision is no longer there. One cannot see anymore. And here these two terms are used. And may the vision no longer reach so far. God says, I wipe out your transgressions like a cloud and wipe away your sins like the mist. Return to me, for I will redeem you. Today we can say, He has redeemed us. Back then, in the Old Testament, it was prophecy. In the New Testament, it is reality. Not I will redeem you, I have redeemed you. Not I will blot out your sins, I have blotted out your sins. Not I will forgive, I have forgiven. It is a finished work of redemption. But now, the Lord goes on to say to us through the prophet, Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. He not only gives the promise, as the singers sang so wonderfully, but rejoice, ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. In other words, He has not only said, I will blot out your sins, I will forgive your iniquities, I will redeem you. Rejoice, ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Hallelujah. And on the cross, He cried out, It is finished. And not only the heavens shall rejoice, the earth shall exult. Here it is written, Exult, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing. Why? Because the Lord has done it. We are no longer before it, but we are in the midst of the redemptive work of our God, in the midst of His plan of salvation. And I believe that this has come to the fore through the revelation of the seven church age messages and in general in the revelation as a whole, that we do not only watch and know that God has a plan of salvation, but that we each find ourselves in the Word of God as those to whom the Word has gone forth and could accomplish for which God sent it. Rejoice, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Exult, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing. God has done what He promised. Here again the word done, performed. In the prophet Malachi, we read the word twice. There the Lord speaks, In the day when I do it, when I do it. Here again we have this word, do it. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. He fulfills it. He makes it a reality. You know, Brother Branham uses now and then his very old expression and says, even a Baptist can rejoice over this. And with this expression, he wants to say, otherwise they don't rejoice. But if they would hear this, then they could and would rejoice over it. And we as people who have drunk the cup of salvation, have part in what God has done, heard His revealed word, who see what He is performing in these days, we have to be sometimes asked to pray and to think. Oh, God doesn't like that. The Lord wants deep, intimate gratitude from your heart and from mine. And He wants a fervent approval in your heart and in mine towards His word. Rejoice, ye heavens. Well, that's a beautiful thing. We know that. In heaven, I suppose, rejoicing is not so difficult. But then also on earth. Exalt, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing. And now verse 26. Who confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. And believe me, I could not have known that Brother Rus would read the word from the prophet Malachi. And here I read for the second time in the prophet Isaiah the word perform. I read it again because I recognize in it 100% the leading of the Holy Spirit, who confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. No word will remain unfulfilled that the Lord has spoken. He performeth the counsel proclaimed by his messengers. God spoke at sundry times and in diverse manners through the prophets, but in Christ and through the church, the whole counsel of our God is accomplished. God performs in these days and brings to pass what He has spoken. And we know how often it has been emphasized. God does nothing unless He reveals His secret unto His servants, the prophets. And when we read Revelation 10, verse 7, there it says, how He revealed His counsel to His servants, the prophets. And we are in the midst of the fulfillment of all these things. In a sermon, Brother Branham said, when will we understand who we are in the eyes of God? We have not yet realized our high calling and our divine standing. We are living under our divine privileges. We could be divine millionaires, and sometimes we are spiritual beggars. That is the way it looks Everything has been prepared by God. Now, let's read from chapter 45, the first verses, maybe from verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Sometimes we see a way before us that is impassable, and we look to that impassable instead of looking to the Lord. And here we are told, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. God will go before you and before me, as he went before the people of Israel. And he is able to make a way where there is no way. Brothers and sisters, I have to say it once, through the end time message, not experiences or stories have been told, but the word of Almighty God has been put anew upon the lampstand as never before. We have heard the word of God, and therefore we should have been strengthened in the faith and raised up to trust the Lord fully and completely. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Yes, here we would be quick to say, brother, if thou were in my shoes, I don't need to be in your shoes and you in mine. They wouldn't fit us anyway, because God has a special way with everyone. But if you and I are in the way of God, and the Lord goes before us, then he will make the crooked places straight. And even more, in the second part, it is written here, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Not you will straighten, not you will open, not you will break in pieces, not you will help yourself, but thy God, whom thou shalt trust, whom thou shalt follow, whom thou shalt serve, he will go before you. All three times, it is the Lord who makes the offer of himself, and not only offers, but also puts it into practice. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. When I think of this verse, I cannot help but think of the opening of the seven seals, of the revelation of the secret things. For here it is written, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Much lay in darkness, much was hidden, but in the days when the voice of the seventh angel sounds, everything was to be finished and revealed by God. And I believe that we may say, this word has been fulfilled before our eyes. That which lay in darkness, that which was hidden, God has handed over to us through the revelation of all that He has given by grace. Now, because His word comes to the prophets, He must use such a ministry in order to be able to communicate all these things to the people of God. And I will give thee the hidden treasures. You all know treasures. Everyone will hide them somewhere, because you don't want anyone to take them away someday. God has left the most precious treasures, the most valuable, the greatest and most powerful, until the end of time, until the time of the reformers is over and a prophetic age comes, in which all these things can be summarized prophetically, not by knowledge, but by revelation of the living God. And in this age, we now live and realize all that God has given us. And I will give thee the hidden treasures. And hidden riches of secret places. And now actually comes the reason why it should be done. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name. You know, these things are in the singular. And it's a very personal thing. It is not we who have heard the end time message and God has called us. The question is, has God called me? Has God called you? Was it given to me? Was it given to you? Between us, some things can be hidden. But when it becomes a very personal thing, and here it is written, that you may know that I have called you by your name. We may indeed humbly take from all that God has done, that He loved me and that He loved you, that He called me and you, that He called us out, and that we found grace before Him. You know very well that the things which God has revealed and which He has spoken are not received by all. They go in their own programs, and their own programs include millions, and you could almost say great, greater, greatest. But God has one program, and it says, then they that feared God gathered, the Lord hearkened, and a book of remembrance was written. We see, God is not about a program. God is about His program. God is about the fulfillment and performing of what He has proclaimed by the mouth of His messengers. Not if somebody says something that they think God has revealed to them, but what God has really revealed. People bring a lot of stimulation. They bring mood among the people by promising great things. We want the promises of God and not empty promises. God has promised enough. If we experience all that God has promised, then we will not lack, and we will have life and have it more abundantly. I will give thee, so not only you, I will give thee the hidden treasures and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. In these words, we have all been addressed together and individually. As we said earlier, God sent His messengers, spoke through them, and made promises. And then He sent His messengers again to put into practice these promises that He has made. We see it, especially with Abraham and with Moses. To Abraham, God made the promise, after 400 years, I will lead out your descendants. And when the time was fulfilled, God performed His word, and He still watches over His word today to make it come true. If I can judge the overall situation rightly, then I mean that God has not led us into a vacuum, but has placed us on the foundation of His word, on the prophetic word, which cannot be interpreted, but which can only be fulfilled. And therefore, we are no longer tossed to and fro. And I say to you, whoever has once sat under the sound of this word revealed by God for this time and has received it in his heart, he can go wherever he wants and seek whatever he wants. He will never come to a rest inwardly, even if he numbs his conscience. He will no longer come to rest, for the word has not gone forth from us, but holy men, driven by the Holy Spirit, have spoken from God, and we have heard from God to witness the revelation of Jesus Christ in these last days. Brethren, let us not take this lightly, but let us take it as a precious gift from our God. When it says here, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness, God has said there would be light at evening time. This light had to come to reveal and bring to light the hidden treasures lying in darkness. And we can say today, this scripture is fulfilled before our eyes. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. Great and wonderful things have been given to us by God. Let us understand it and take it in. Without the light at evening time, everything would have remained in darkness. The hidden would have remained hidden, but it has pleased God to watch over His word and to do what is right at the right time. God performs His counsel, which He has proclaimed through His messengers. And this counsel does not pass you and me by. We have been placed in this divine counsel because the chosen church is the center of the divine plan of salvation. And in the church, the main prophecies and the greatest things that God has promised are fulfilled. For it is with the church that God intends the greatest things. We are to be with Him in glory. Just as in Christ all things were fulfilled that were written concerning Him, so in the church all things are fulfilled that are written concerning her. May God give me and you grace to accept this gratefully and truly, as the Bible says here, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. At the time when God performs it, something happens. When the word became flesh and the announcement was made there in the fields of Bethlehem, all heaven rejoiced. And it says, the multitude of the heavenly host praised and glorified God. Why? Because God fulfilled His word. Brethren, I hope we understand. Heaven is involved when God fulfills His word on earth. And we must open our hearts and say, Lord, be gracious unto us, that we may tune in. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Exult, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing. Hallelujah. We don't feel like rejoicing when we look at ourselves, at the circumstances, at the times, at our worries and hardships. Then no one feels like rejoicing. But when we turn our eyes to the Lord and see His word fulfilled before our eyes, then I mean that the power of God comes upon us and takes us out of our own misery and places us on higher ground so that we can worship in spirit and in truth. And that is what we should do this morning, without any special invitation. Rejoice, ye heavens, exalt, you earth, for the Lord God has done it. He is carrying out the counsel proclaimed by His messengers. And these things are coming to pass in our time. You and I, we may have a part in it. He has promised to go before us and make the crooked places straight, to break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and to give us the hidden treasures in darkness and the precious things of secret places, that we may know that He has loved you and me, that He has called us by our name. We are His for time and all eternity. And I believe that we may say in one accord, God has done great things for me and for you. And the greatest is the salvation of our souls, the forgiveness of our sins, the new and eternal life. And of course, everything else He has given us in addition. May His name be highly praised and exalted. Let us not become ungrateful, but let us become more grateful. Let us not make defiant speeches, as we have heard, for wherever defiant speeches are made, there is not the Lord who writes His book of remembrance and calling His own jewels. Now may God grant us grace that today we may thank Him with all our heart. It is not the volume, it is the heartiness, our gratitude that we want to show Him today. And all of you who have a part in what God is doing now, rejoice and give thanks to the Lord your God, for He has done great things and will continue to do great things until the last remnant of His plan of salvation is realized and we are transformed and taken up into His glory. God has promised all this, and what He has promised remains. Heaven and earth may pass away, but you and I must believe so that His promise may be fulfilled in you and me. May the Lord, through this simple sermon, have worked faith and trust and confidence and hope and all that we need in all our hearts by grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again together for this precious food that you have given us this morning by grace. We thank you for your prophetic word which you have given us in these last days. Lord, we want to thank you as best we can from the bottom of our hearts. O Lord, let us indeed have grateful hearts. May we not come to the point of begging, O Lord, that people should pray, but with joyfulness, Lord, open our hearts, and that we thank you, O God, for the great things you have done for us, Lord. For indeed, great things you have done. Praise be to your wonderful name. Honor and glory be to you forever and ever. Bless us now, Lord, also in the meantime. Bless us also this afternoon. Bless also the meal. O Lord, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.